Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
Last week, we began a series of lessons examining the doctrines of Calvinism in light of the Scriptures. There are five cardinal points of Calvinism. They are total hereditary depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints. Now, one or more of these points is believed by many, if not most, of the evangelical churches today. Well, this being the case, it is highly important that we seek to determine whether or not these points of doctrine are taught in the Bible. If they are, we should believe and support them. If they are not, then many people are in grave error and need to search the Scriptures to find the truth. Well, in this series of lessons, we're doing exactly that. We are examining the doctrines of Calvinism in light of the Scriptures. Last week, we talked about total hereditary depravity, and today we want to examine the doctrine of unconditional election. Is unconditional election taught in the Bible? Unconditional election is John Calvin's view of predestination. Now, the Bible teaches predestination and foreordination, but the question is, does it teach John Calvin's view? Calvin taught that God, before the foundation of the world, chose, elected, or predestined certain individuals to everlasting life, and others he predestined to everlasting death. He taught that God's choice rested solely in his own sovereign will and was not based on any foreseen response or obedience on man's part. In other words, God's election of the saved is an unconditional election. The Westminster Confession of Faith states it this way, and I quote, "By the decree of God for the manifestation of His glory, some men and angels are predestinated unto everlasting life, and others foreordained to everlasting death. These angels and men, thus predestinated and foreordained, are particularly and unchangeably designed, and their number so certain and definite that it cannot be either increased or diminished." End of quote. In other words, this particular doctrine says that those individuals that God before the creation of the world predestinated to everlasting life will go to heaven, and there's nothing they can do about it. And those individuals whom God before the foundation of the world predestinated to everlasting death will go to hell, and there's nothing they can do about it. In other words, the choice is solely God's. Well, does the Bible teach the doctrine of unconditional election? Well, first of all, if the doctrine of unconditional election is true, that would make God a respecter of persons. God would then be showing partiality toward those whom he predestined to be saved. But the Bible teaches that God does not show partiality. In Romans 2 and verse 6, Paul says that God will render to each one according to his deeds. And then verses 9 through 11, he says, "Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God." Now that statement in verse 11, "there is no partiality with God," is the confirmation and proof of all that Paul has said about punishing men according to their deeds. Who will receive tribulation and anguish? Well, it is every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. Who will receive glory, honor, and peace? Well, every man who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You see, there is no partiality with God. Jews stand before God on the same level with the Greek. What each person receives, whether Jew or Greek, is determined by the choices each one makes. Now, the Calvinists say what each man receives is according to the arbitrary choice that God makes, irrespective of any choice that man makes. Well, that makes God a respecter of persons. In 1 Peter 1, verse 17, Peter says, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear." Now, John Calvin says that God's choice of whom to save was not determined by or conditioned upon any virtuous quality or act foreseen in man. But Peter the Apostle says that God judges according to each man's work. And Peter implies that if God's choice concerning man's salvation is independent of man's deeds, then God is showing partiality. Peter said at the house of Cornelius in Acts 10 verses 34 to 35, "In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Now, since God does not show partiality, then we can be assured that he did not unconditionally elect certain ones to be saved. Rather, we can be assured that he has made it possible for all to be saved, and his judgment of who will be saved or lost is determined by the choices that each man makes. The Bible also teaches that God desires all men to be saved. This contradicts Calvinism because Calvin taught that God willed some men to be lost. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4 says that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So God wants all to be saved. Well, John Calvin wrote in his Institutes, and I quote, "All are not created on equal terms, but some are preordained to eternal life, others to eternal damnation. And accordingly, as each has been created for one or the other of these ends, we say that he has been predestinated to life or to death." End of quote. Well, this statement from Calvin says that God willed some individuals to eternal death. Well, what is the truth? What John Calvin said or what the Bible says? And since God desires all men to be saved, God has made salvation available to all men. Paul wrote in Titus 2 and verse 11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Jesus invites all sinners to come to him, that they might find rest to their souls. Read Matthew 11 verses 28 through 30. Now, if the Calvinistic doctrine of unconditional election is true, then salvation is not for all men, but only for those whom God arbitrarily chose. Well, which is the truth, Calvinism or the Bible? And the Bible also teaches that man has a free will. Man has the ability to choose good or evil. Well, according to Calvin's teachings, man does not have a free will, but rather man does only what God has decreed. The Calvinists teach that each one's salvation is solely God's choice and not man's. But look with me at a few passages of Scripture. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, Jesus is speaking and he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Now, here's the Son of God stating his will. He wants the people of Jerusalem to repent so he can gather them together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But he didn't do what he desired to do. Why? Well, the passage says it was because you were not willing. You see, the people of Jerusalem had a free will. They could choose to come to Christ and fulfill his desire for them, or they could choose to reject him, and they chose the latter. They had a free will. In John 5 and verse 40, Jesus says, "But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." Now, these people to whom Jesus is speaking did not have life. But why? Was it because of the unconditional election of God? Well, no. Jesus said, "You are not willing to come to me that you may have life." They did not have life because of the choice they made, not the choice that God made. You see, man has a free will. Whether man is saved or lost eternally is based on the decision that man makes, not on the unconditional election of God. And the Bible teaches that God is not the cause of sin. Now, if John Calvin's view of predestination is true, then God is the author of sin. Now, I think this would be a good place to mention that the Calvinistic view of predestination is based on their concept of divine sovereignty. Calvinists believe that not only is God the creator and ruler of the universe, but also the absolute cause and controller of all things. They believe that divine sovereignty is the principle that God, as a sovereign being, controls every aspect of every individual's life. The view is that God foreknows what will occur because he foreordained that it will occur. Therefore, God predetermined who would be saved and who would be lost. Well, if this is true, then God is the author of sin. Calvin wrote, and I quote, "The decree, I admit, is dreadful, and yet it is impossible to deny that God foreknew what the end of man was to be before he made him, and foreknew because he had so ordained by his decree." End of quote. In other words, God foreknew that man would commit sin and ordained that he would do so. Calvin also wrote, and I quote, "Nor ought it to seem absurd when I say that God not only foresaw the fall of the first man and in him the ruin of his posterity, but also at his own pleasure arranged it." End of quote. So according to Calvin, God arranged the sin of Adam and of all mankind. But the Bible teaches that God is holy, Isaiah 6 and verse 3. Therefore, he could not be the author of sin. As we mentioned last week, sin originated with man's choice to disobey God. Also in 1 John 2 and verse 16, John wrote, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." And so sin and its temptations did not originate with God. Now, I need to mention that John Calvin also taught that God is not the author of sin, but his view of the sovereignty of God puts him in a contradictory position. When one says that God ordained and arranged Adam's sin, and then says that God did not author sin, he is contradicting himself. This is the very position that Calvin and the Calvinists find themselves. Well, what we have seen today is that the Bible teaches that God does not show partiality. But if the Calvinistic doctrine of unconditional election is true, then God does show partiality. We have seen that the Bible teaches that God desires all men to be saved. But if the doctrine of unconditional election is true, then God willed some men to be lost. We also have seen that the Bible teaches that salvation is for all mankind and that Jesus invites all sinners to come to him. But if the doctrine of unconditional election is true, then salvation is not for all, but only for those whom God unconditionally elected. And we have also seen that the Bible teaches that man has a free will, the ability to choose right from wrong. But if the doctrine of unconditional election is true, then man is just a puppet in the hand of God with no free will of his own. We have also seen that the Bible teaches that God is not the author of sin. But if the doctrine of unconditional election is true, then God did originate sin. Well, all of this proves that the Calvinistic doctrine of unconditional election is not taught in the Bible. Well, our time is gone for today. If you have a question you would like to ask us, or if you would like to talk with us about this subject or any Bible subject, then we would like to talk with you. Just give us a call at 573-265-8628. If no one is there to answer, just leave your name and telephone number, and we will be glad to get back with you. That phone number again is 573-265-8628. Or if you would like a free audio CD of today's program or of any of our Bible Talk broadcast, then just give us your name and address along with the title of the program, and we will be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. Now, there are three ways in which you may send in your request. You may email it in to us. Our email address is sjchurch@sjchurchofchrist.com. Or you may call it in. Our phone number again is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service, and our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You're invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ. Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship. Sunday evening at 5 for worship. Wednesday night Bible classes at 7. The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at the same time for Bible Talk.